I wanted to dedicate this episode to all my peers and, of course, all dental students listening who will be reaching what I believe one of the biggest milestones of dental school, and that is seeing your very first patient. In first year, it definitely was something I always thought about. Although exciting, it didn't come without doubt in myself. I sat down with two very special people who I actually went to high school with, and they're now established dental clinicians practicing privately in Sydney. I remember them being such great people during high school that I feel very comfortable to turn to these two to ease my nerves of seeing my very first patient, and I'm delighted to share the chat we had with you all. You listening may be a second year ready to see your first patient, or maybe you're someone who knows someone who's about to endeavour on this part of their journey. Or you may just be curious about what these two had to say about it. Whoever you are, I hope you enjoy listening to the chat just as much as I did having it. Welcome, Nicole and Laura, to the Dental Head Start podcast. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Christina.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. First question on my list was, can you believe that it's been 16 years out of uni? I mean, no, not out of uni, out of high school for all of us. No. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, hearing 16 years since high school, it doesn't make sense because I feel like I'm only 18.
Yeah.
So the math doesn't really add up.
Yeah. No. Yeah. How about you, Nicole? How do you feel about being at a high school for 16 years?
I wasn't counting the number of years since we finished, but definitely it's come across my table a few times now that my sisters are coming to the age that when we were finishing high school and they're going into year 11 and 12. And yeah, I feel like high school was a lifetime ago, but also feels like it was just yesterday. So it's weird.
Absolutely. I feel this
way. I think that's good. I think it's good to know that we don't feel aged by our pathways and our careers we've chosen, hey? Are your sisters thinking of getting into dental as well, Nicole?
One of them is a definite no. And then the other one is considering it.
What are you guys up to now then?
So myself, I'm working at a seven-chair practice. I'm an oral health therapist there. However, I solely do hygiene. And that's just because I've been there for so long. I've built up a reputation with patients. I've built that rapport. So I'm quite busy there. But what I am passionate about is airways and sleep apnea. So I'm always looking into early detection for young patients. So I'm always asking questions about, you know, their sleep patterns, bruxism, if they're waking up tired. And I enjoy that because I see how I'm improving their lives. Even though you only see patients once every 6 months, you see that change in such a little person, particularly in the younger clients, like the younger patients. So for me, I love that. And then it's just nice to work like with that, you know, like when you get told at uni that holistic approach makes such a difference. And you think, yeah, okay. However, it does make a difference when you're working in private practice. So working with ear, nose and throat surgeons and orofacial myologists, because that's what I did a little bit of study into, and I'm really interested in that because prior to getting into dental, I actually went into speech therapy. Okay. So I have a little bit of a background of that. So I'm passionate about it as well.
That's definitely something I think a lot of oral health therapists would be interested in doing additional to their hygiene scope as well. Yeah. That's fantastic, Laura. That's so good. And how long have you been there at your practice now?
I've been there for 8 years now. Yeah, eight years. It'll be 9 this year. And I do love it. Yeah. It's challenging, don't get me wrong, but it's rewarding.
Yeah.
Because I do get to see a lot of the same patients. And, you know, because I'm also very passionate about periodontal disease. So getting those patients from, you know, initial stages going through that debridement, seeing them, you know, 3 months later and actually getting change, or for the patients that don't get initial change and then seeing them a year on and they're actually starting to realize the benefits of coming to see me and the benefits of doing their home care, that's really rewarding as well. So that's another reason why I love working there, because I do have patients that will continue their treatment.
Fantastic. That's so nice to hear. What about you, Nicole? Nicole, you're a dentist. What are you passionate about, and where are you working at the moment?
Straight out of uni, I got a job back in Orange. So studied there, got my first job there, which I absolutely loved, and especially during COVID, it was a good place to be away from Sydney from all the COVID cases. But yeah, I also got to vaccinate people and be part of that for the Orange community. So that was very rewarding in itself, where I felt like I was really contributing to, you know, the greater cause of COVID cases. And then after a few years there, decided to come back home to Sydney, be with family and friends. So moved back at the end of 2021. And yeah, just working privately. But of course, I still feel very tied to my workplace there. So I love my patients there. I love the community over there. So for the last couple years, I've been doing sort of, at first it was drive in, drive out, and then fly in, fly out. Last year, I was visiting a week every month. And yeah, it was a little bit tiring, but less tiring compared to having had to drive. So the flying really made a difference. It really made it doable to visit that frequently. But yeah, very different cases. So obviously over there, I did a lot of extraction cases, you know, lots of dentures, lots of fillings, lots of cleans, lots of perio. Here, less extractions. Lots of fillings, lots of cleans, endo as well. I guess over in Orange as well, I was able to do some endo cases because, you know, money wasn't a factor. So if I thought the tooth was savable and the patient was more than willing to come in and see me 3-4 times, I was able to do some endo cases. And yeah, you just need to warn them that it might not last forever, and you know, it's better than us taking the tooth out right now. Maybe you can hold on to that tooth for, you know, how many more years. So yeah, case is very different, but the dentistry, I think it in Orange there was a lot more psychosocial factors that played into management of patients, just being really understanding that their dental health isn't the center of their lives, and just accepting the fact that, you know, they have bigger things happening in their lives. And the most you can do is, you know, either get them out of pain or just clean their mouth. And that, you know, makes them happy and makes me happy.
What would be your ideal patient out there at Orange?
Ideal patient? Like, my patients there, I can have a good laugh with, good banter. And, but I guess my ideal patient is the ones that have had really poor oral hygiene, and then we were able to restore them back into like some sort of functionality. Like, the patients are like compliant to do so. That would be my ideal patient. But even those non-compliant ones, like, it's still a win to see them like a year later and your fillings are still in their mouths. So
I suppose let's jump into, now that you guys got into uni, decided, yep, I'm at uni, got accepted into the degree, you know, summarize maybe in 3 words what your uni experience was like.
So mine is technically 4, and it was a mantra that I used to say with my uni friends, and it was, you've got this.
Yes.
And it's because it's something I would repeat before every exam, before every viva, before every patient. And it was just to have the confidence in the knowledge that you have learned everything to the best of your ability, and we're going to get through this next step together. Because we would have to pump each other up, because there's so many times where you doubt yourself when you're in uni. Do I know what I'm doing? Have I learned this enough? Am I going to hurt the patient? Am I going to do something wrong? Am I going to stuff up a question that I do know the answer to, but I think it's something wrong? So that's my four words to summarize my uni experience, because there's a lot that you're learning in such a short amount of time. And you really have to remember that you do have this, you know your stuff, and you're going to get through it and you will pass. So that's how I would summarize uni for me. It was all just a matter of, you've got this, you're going to get through it.
What about dental school? Do you reckon, I suppose it'd be harder, Nicole, wouldn't it? Because it's a bit longer.
Yeah, I guess if I were to choose three words for dental school, it would be challenging, crazy, but also fun. And I think it comes down to the individual to bring in that last word of fun.
Yeah.
Because as students, we can be so bogged down with studying, with, you know, practicing questions or practicing LA techniques and things like that. Uni is challenging overall. So you've got to find a balance with the studies, with still going out to see your friends, still trying to stay active with physical activity. But yeah, crazy, I guess, would be the word, because as well, there's a lot of crazy expectations that you might feel your lecturers or tutors have on you, or you have on yourself. And it's good to have a good support network to make you feel less crazy.
I think they're very realistic. I can relate to it, even though I've only done 1 year of uni at this stage. I can really relate to that, all of that already. I suppose one of those crazy things I think that you face in uni is actually the topic of this episode, which is actually seeing your first patient and using all that knowledge you've accumulated, all that knowledge that you've got, to now apply to a real life situation. So do you guys, well, sort of briefly, what was the first patient experience like for you? What was that? Was that during uni? Was that during second year? When was that? And what was that experience like for you?
So mine was actually second year, first semester, and it was in clinic at Westmead, and it was hygiene. So we saw hygiene prior to seeing therapy patients. And I still remember my patient quite vividly. And he had generalized severe perio, which now with the new classification is stage 4, grade C. He was a heavy smoker, extremely nice, very patient, because you were given a lot of time for your first appointment. So we were allocated 3 hours per person, per appointment. And that's a long time. But I remember at uni thinking, wow, how am I going to get everything done in 3 hours? This is impossible. It's just all the doubt seeps in. And I hadn't even started anything, and I was only doing history taking that first appointment. So I took all the history, social history, medical history. For example, he had high blood pressure, so I checked his blood pressure. You get that checked off by the clinical educator, and all this takes time. And I hadn't even started actually doing a perio chart yet. And I remember thinking, am I going to use the wrong working end? Am I going to get the right spot when I give an IAN injection, when I give the block? Oh my gosh, what am I going to do? Am I going to hurt him? And all this confidence that I had prior to the appointment just seeps away. But you have to keep on going. And I remember thinking, you can do this. It's going to be okay. So pretty much in that appointment, all I did over the 3 hours was history taking, and I did a perio chart. And I think, if memory serves me correct, I may have done a very general, like, gross debridement. And he was so patient. And I remember I was so scared to even retract the lip too tight, like too taut, that I might hurt him. So it's amazing where you start off from and where I am now and the way things change. So just be patient with yourself, because all those thoughts that you're thinking, let me tell you, every other student with you is probably feeling the same way at, yeah. you know, on some sort of level. So I had to remember that I'm not alone. Everyone's been there first. And I was really lucky, actually, that my patient said to me, he's like, everybody has to start somewhere. So I was really yeah. lucky. I had a great experience. And I hope everybody else has had that same experience that I did.
Yeah. Did you come out of the appointment happy with what you did?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I was relieved that I had done it. And I remember thinking, okay, I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah.
And then I went home and I studied exactly what I needed to do for every other appointment after that.
Yeah. Oh, that's so good. You are like a ideal student, Laura.
What do you mean?
You know, you just know, okay, all right, from this opportunity, I'm going to continue. I'm going to keep going and I'm going to, you know, do what it takes to get better rather than be like, I think if it was, I don't know, I've yet to experience, you know, my first patient. But if I can try and sort of compare it to the first time I sat in a clinical chair and was given full control of a hand drill or ultrasonic scalar, I just came out thinking, oh my God, what did I get myself into? Kind of doubting my abilities. So I think it's nice hearing that by the time you get to that point, you're probably, you know, you've got the knowledge, just apply it. And 3 hours, I don't know, 3 hours is, I don't know, to me is long, but maybe to you at the time, it went by really quickly.
You know what, it does. And the thing is as well, prior to me entering the course, I didn't have any dental knowledge. I'd never worked in dental practice. I'd only really had my teeth cleaned, you know, once a year. I wasn't that regular. Once a year, not six monthly. So I didn't really know what to expect. And yes, 3 hours seems like a long time now, but at the time it goes really fast because you're doing everything so carefully and so meticulously. And you also, you have a lot of time waiting around for the clinical educators because, I'm not sure if all unis are like this. However, there was about 12 of us to two clinical educators. So by the time they check everything off, and everything does have to be checked really closely, quite precisely, because you're training patients. These are real people. It's not just a type of dont.
So
3 hours goes real quick. At the time, it doesn't feel like a lifetime.
Yeah.
You think, oh, I'd love another hour. Was...
Yeah. 4 hours. Gosh, your poor dental assistant.
Oh, poor patient. Imagine opening your mouth for that long.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I suppose that's, so true.
Yeah.
Who was your first patient, Nick?
If I'm going to be perfectly honest, I don't quite remember my first patient because it was like history taking and from memory, there wasn't really anything significant in the history taking. But I do remember having like my set out like questions for, medical history, like reason for attendance, medical history questions, social history, family history, dental history. You ask all those things, but it didn't really stand out for me because I think that was at the end of first year, I believe, first or second year, we started just doing history taking with patients. But I think the most memorable moment for me was with my first filling patient. I had just come back from like holidays. I think it was like a mid-year break or something like that. So really long holidays. And in my mind, I thought I just had a clean patient. You know, luckily I had always gone into clinic, 15, 20 minutes early. So I went in, looked at my book and I was like, oh my God, I think I'm doing like a 3-6 occlusal filling. And I'm like, oh my God, I need to do a block. Oh my God, I didn't review last night. I was freaking out. And then I was just like, no, it's okay. Like you passed your LA exam. You wouldn't be doing this appointment if you didn't pass your LA exam. So, I mean, I hopped on YouTube and studied some block techniques on YouTube just as a refresher. And Yeah, and it was good because, like, my tutor asked me what the landmarks are for a block, and I was able to, like, give him the answers. But at the time, I felt like I was going to faint because I usually, like, if I had known, I probably would have reviewed the night before, reviewed my notes. I used to use YouTube videos because I like, I think I'm a visual learner. So I like to see things and how it's done. So it's just that, yeah, I don't know what happened with that appointment because I hadn't flagged it in my diary as being a filling appointment, and it was.
Okay.
So, yeah, that was the most memorable first patient experience that I had. And I remember I told my tutor, I was like, this is my first block. Can you please, like, be there and watch me? And then, like, yeah, sure. And my hand was like, I felt like it was shaking, but my assistant was like, no, your hand wasn't shaking at all. I was like, really? Okay. But it was like micro shakes probably. Like,
yeah. So I suppose everything is amplified on your end because you're the one going having those thoughts. But did the block work the first time?
Yeah, I was lucky enough that it worked. I just put one cartridge. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Everything Nicole was saying just reminded me of the first initial stages when you start to see any new patient. You were just overwhelmed with this sweat and stress. You're just reminding you of how much I really did freak out at the time. You kind of block these these things out. And now they're all kind of rising to the surface, and I'm feeling hot now just thinking about how much I was stressed at the time. I would have the gown on, have your mask on, your gloves, and I think, how am I so sweaty? I haven't done anything yet. I'm just putting on the topical. I do recall that. Wow.
Yeah.
Just thank you for that.
Yeah.
That little memory.
Resurfacing the trauma. Oh, my gosh. Well, okay. So can you, like, see the case and you say to your educator, I don't think I could do this. I really need some time to come to – I need a different patient to work on at this stage of my learning journey. Is that something that you can actually say to them, or is that a bit of an embarrassment?
No. Well, during my uni experience, that was not an option. The thing is as well, I'm not sure if your uni was like this, Nicole, every year group was given a certain sort of patient. So every patient was actually graded. So they were graded, I think it was like a numerical system or maybe even alphabetical, I can't quite remember. So the really severe patients, like the A category, would then go to the specialist dentist. The B category would go to the dental students. The C category would go to the oral health therapy hygiene patients. And then that was then graded second year, second semester, third year.
Okay.
So that's how I recall it. So every patient that you did see at the time, you were expected to see because it had already been graded for you.
Sure. Okay. So there's some sort of filtering process first.
Yeah.
Slightly, you know.
Yeah.
That ain't throw you in the deep end. That's the one thing I'd be worried about. I'd just be like, I'm worried about perhaps not being able to recall the knowledge that I've gained because I'm so stressed, or I am just so anxious about, okay, all right, this does mean I might need to, you know, use a block and plan for that or whatever. So anyways, that's really good.
Do you know what that also reminds me of? When we started therapy patients and a lot of us were quite anxious, pretty much everything you were saying, a lot of us felt the pressure to also seem professional and to appear like we know what we're doing. So you just somehow muster up the confidence to just do it. And before you do anything, you're already talking to your assistant, who's also a dental student, an oral health therapy student, and you're talking amongst each other. do you agree with what I'm doing? Yeah, that's definitely the right approach. Or you're going to have a conversation and say, oh, you know what, maybe you could go down this road. And then if you're still not certain, that's when you speak to your clinical educator. This is what I'm going to do. Sure. Do you agree? This is my treatment plan.
Yeah. Mm.
So.
Okay. Yeah. I suppose it makes me feel a bit more ready for the situation when it does come. Is there anything now that you guys wish you did before your first patient?
You know what? I can't really remember if there was anything I wish I had done before.
Okay. So you guys would agree you did everything that you were sort of capable of doing, everything that you could have done before your first patient, and you went in there and left the patient quite happy with what you ended up doing.
Yeah, look, I think so. I'm sure at the time there were things that I doubted and I wasn't happy with, you know, like something as simple as, oh, did I put the liner on properly, or, you know, was it, were the margins smooth, and, you know, did I do any, you know, damage to the next tooth, things like that. I'm sure I had those moments thinking back now.
Yeah.
But I truly can't really remember. Do you, Nicole? Yeah. I'm not sure.
I think, like, because similar to what you said before, the patients are sort of categorized as whether you're able to see them or not based on whether you've passed certain exams. And so I guess for me, I can't really remember any specific things that I wish I had learned or done prior, because I was just reliant on the fact that the patients that were being given to me were ones that were within my scope. And if they weren't within my scope, you could always flag it with the tutor and be like, look, there's more going on with this patient after this filling. I think they might need to see a fourth year or a fifth year student, or they may need to see the private dentist. But as long as you stay within your capabilities and what you know you've achieved through dental school, then it should be okay, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, your patient's very different to the patients you saw at uni to the ones that you saw once you had graduated.
So for me, not really, because when I left uni, I went to a graduate program. So I went to the South Coast, the Illawarra Shoalhaven Local Health District. So it was a low socioeconomic area. So I was fortunate enough to also have a mentor, but I was doing extractions, pulpotomies, you know, class 2 restorations, class 4 restorations on a lot of patients. So I felt like I was still seeing the same sort of client base, and the sort of hygiene patients I was seeing were also the same as my Westmead patients, for example.
Okay. Because
these were patients that had waited years to get on the waiting list. So it was pretty extensive period. So for me, it was great. It wasn't until I went into private that the patients I was seeing were different to what I had at university.
Okay.
So I guess if you were to maybe go straight from uni to private practice, yes, patients would be different. I was just fortunate enough that I went into the public sector. So for me, it was fantastic, because I then got to see those really difficult patients. And, you know, I even recall thinking to myself, you know, between that graduation and going to uni and you're waiting for your ARPRO registration, I think it was maybe like 2 months or something, where I hadn't picked up a drill. And I remember thinking, am I going to be able to, like, still do a filling? It's been so long since I picked up a drill. And as soon as you do, it's like riding a bike, essentially. It's just it becomes muscle memory, essentially.
So, the patients
from uni, similar to public sector. And I love public sector. Yeah.
Mm. What about you, Nicole?
Well, I think a lot of the patients that I had at my first job were patients that I may have seen at uni or may have seen on placement, because, we're all from similar community, same community. Not all, but there was just like maybe a handful of them that I had seen at uni in clinic or something like that. But mm-hmm. yeah, the cases, I think because obviously once you're out, any case can come across your doorstep. And so, and being the dentist there, you have to be able to treat and manage it. So I guess that's the only difference. Whereas at uni, you're a little bit shielded, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess in final year, yeah, you still get anything, almost anything.
Yeah.
But okay. I would say it's quite similar.
How long do you guys think it would take for you to feel like 100% confident that you knew what you were doing? Like you didn't have any doubts about yourself. You didn't really have the same anxiety as you had through uni. Like how many years, or is it, you know, can you expect that at the end of uni to just have complete confidence in yourself?
So I think when I finished uni, I had confidence in myself that I knew what I was doing. However, when I saw my first patient out of uni, I do remember thinking, are you sure you're going to let me give this injection on my own and no one's going to watch me?
Mm, yeah.
Are you sure no one's going to check my restoration? What if I didn't do something correctly? Yeah. How is anyone going to know? So I would say that maybe it took me a few months to start to feel really confident in all the decisions I was making on my own. So yeah. Because I was lucky enough to have that mentor, you know, at the end of the week, if there were any cases I wasn't sure of, I could then talk that through with someone.
Yeah.
And they would say, yeah, I think what you've done is great. You could have potentially maybe done this. And then we'd go through what I was also planning to do with those patients, you know, treatment plan wise in the future. So I would say, yes, I was confident when I finished uni. I was confident
yeah.
in my abilities, but you still have doubts in your treatment plan, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Am okay. I sure that I should be doing a pulpotomy? Maybe should I do a whole technique on this too? Should I be referring this 1/6 restoration to a dentist to be doing a root canal, or can I do this myself? Yeah. I'd say maybe after about 4 to 6 months out of uni, where I was truly confident in my decisions, because you question everything that you're doing. Was that the right decision? Did I give LA the best way? Could I have done this differently? So you do question all that stuff, I'd say, for a little. I'm not sure if it was the same, but that was, I think for myself, that's how I remember it at the time. And I don't think there's any shame in that either, not being super confident, because you're still first year out. You're still going to make mistakes. And there's people that have been doing this day in, day out for years, which is where I'm at now. But at the time, it's okay to not be 100% confident to ask for help. Yeah.
So. Yeah, I think for me, I think I was confident that I was ready to get out there and learn more. And there were certain aspects of dentistry where I felt like, yeah, I can do these procedures fine. But then because dentistry is so vast, there's so many other aspects of dentistry that you might not feel confident about. And I think for me, having come out and COVID was like, my first year out was a COVID, first year of COVID. My skills development during the first couple years was very limited. I wasn't seeing patients day in, day out. I would see emergency patients because we weren't allowed to pick up a drill for how long. And so I felt like once the COVID restrictions started to lift, my anxieties were coming back and I was like, oh God, I feel like I'm just out of uni again, because I haven't really seen patients consistently. And then you start doubting, you know, what you're doing. But yeah, I guess it's like riding a bike, like Laura said, with, you know, you pick up a drill and you're like, oh, that's right. That's how that feels like. This is what I need to do.
Yeah.
The decision making is challenging because there's so many ways that you can treat something. And so, yeah, you will doubt yourself. But I think if you remind yourself that you're putting your patient at the forefront of your decision making and that what you're trying to achieve is what's best for the patient it doesn't necessarily matter which path you take, as long as your patient's well-being is at the top of your list, priority list.
So do you think it took you longer as a dentist? So let's say COVID didn't happen and you were actively seeing patients as a dentist with the scope that you've got, when did you stop having doubts about the decisions you were making?
Yeah, I think if there was no COVID and I was seeing patients consistently, probably similar to Laura, like, you know, a few months, 4 to 6 months, something like that, where, you know, you really get into the swing of things and, you know, you're seeing patients come back after you've already treated them. And so that, you know, you're like, oh, okay, so that feeling looks good. I did that, you know, like,
yeah,
it reinforces that, yeah, you're doing the right thing. But when you're not seeing patients consistently and you do one thing and then you don't see the patient for like how many months, you're like, yeah, oh, did I, is that feeling okay? Like, yeah, is that patient okay after I took that tooth out? I mean, obviously if you took a tooth out and the patient wasn't okay, they'd usually call you. So yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think it's the repetition and seeing the cases come back and seeing the patients be like, be happy to see you and get, yeah, receive more treatment, things like that.
What is the one, like, if we had to sort of put in a little box the advice that we want to give our listeners, what is the top advice that you'd give them for seeing their first patient?
Mine is, you know what, similar to what I just said before, but mine is, you've got this. You are the health professional.
Yeah.
You have studied 3 years. You have practiced for 2.5 years or 4 years, however long you're at uni. Don't allow a patient to make you question yourself. Trust in what you've learned and you will succeed in everything you do. I truly believe that. Uni is hard. Uni is grueling. It is so tough, but you will get through it. Just trust in what you've learned. Trust in your skills. That's my advice.
Yeah. Nicole?
My bit of advice for seeing your first patient would probably be prepare to the best of your ability and also talk to your support people, talk to your friends, talk to your family, but mainly probably the best ones would be to talk to your classmates, the ones that know or they are going through the exact same thing as you. Chat to them about the case, chat to them about, you know, how would they take on this case, compare ideas, use your people as a sounding board as to what you plan to do with the patient.
Yeah. Well, thank you guys for being on the episode for Dental Head Start podcast. I wish you all the best. I'm so happy to sort of still be in touch, but I wish you all the best and thank you for such valuable advice for our listeners.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you for having us and good luck.
You're very welcome.
Yeah. Your uni days.
I know. You will know. You will. I think you guys will be my sounding board when I see my first patient.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I can't wait. For sure. I cannot wait. Now I can't wait. Before I was a bit anxious, but now I can't wait.
Have fun with it. Just have fun with it.
Yeah, have fun.
Thank you so much for listening to the Dental Head Start podcast. I genuinely hope this is helping you become a better dentist. So if you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe on your podcast player. And I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go to social media and share something that you've appreciated from us with one of your friends. That's how the word gets out. That's how more people gain and benefit from what we're doing. And if you're a dental student or a graduate and you want to get a head start, go to dentalheadstart.com to find everything we're doing to help dental students become great dentists.